Coach Talks, Coaching em Ação, um podcast de Madalena Sutcliffe.
Hi, this is Madalena Sutcliffe, and I just had an incredibly interesting and super insightful conversation with Dr. Cecilia Nicoletti, where I learned how anyone can take charge of their brain. And this is important because either you run your brain or it runs you. So by the time you have finished listening to this episode, you are going to know exactly how your brain works and what you can do to take charge of it to make the changes you want to see in your life. Dr. Cecilia Nicoletti is a trained neuroscientist and a PhD, and she is also a solution-focused coach who worked formerly on Tony Robbins' team of coaches. She is also a sports coach and a fitness trainer and a medical biotechnology graduate. Dr. Cecilia has an ICF-accredited training from Solution Surfers Coaching in Switzerland, and she is also trained in nonviolent communication. Besides her coaching practice, Dr. Cecilia also works as the scientific coordinator focusing on teaching development at ETH Zurich, one of the top-ranked universities in the world for science and technology. Dr. Cecilia Nicoletti knows the science behind the success of coaching, mindset, and focus, but she also knows the importance of human movement and training as an indispensable tool for energy creation to create long-lasting change in your life. She is married. She has been together with her partner for 20 years, and together they have three beautiful daughters between the ages of 9 to 12, and they live in Switzerland. Dr. Cecilia, it is an absolute pleasure to have you here in the studio. I cannot wait for you to share your wisdom with the world. So let me start with this question. After a 15-year career in neuroscience, connected to the academic field and research, you decided to become a coach. Can you tell us a bit about your journey in neuroscience and how that led you to coaching?
So thank you, Madalena, for this beautiful introduction. And it's a pleasure for me to be here with you and having this conversation. I look forward to this time together. I studied biotechnology. That was the beginning of my career. Science had always been my thing. I was good in that. I was inspired by that. And the other thing was, I remember my mom telling me, there is no way to talk to you when you were small. Like, I'd bring you in a bus, and you'd be just looking at people all the time. So it was like, I would want to have a conversation with you. And I was so fascinated about people that it wouldn't be possible to just have a long lasting conversation. So for me, it was clear it had to be something that had to do with humans. And actually, what fascinated me the most was the brain. Mm-hmm. So I studied medical biotechnology because I thought that was a nice place to start. Biology was great. And but then as soon as I finished my master I did actually a project in stem cells, I right away decided now it's the time to get knowledgeable about the brain. So I did a 4 years PhD in Berlin. Moved away from my country, learned two languages at the same time. That's the power of drive and motivation. and I worked in a lab, like really screening brains, cultivating cells, doing all the things that you do in the lab. So I learned about the brain, everything about brain, the functions, the anatomy. And then there was something missing. So it was interesting, but something was missing. So I moved to for 1 year, work together in a lab that was setting up a clinical study to find out triggers for stroke. Mm-hmm. And there we had to basically study, of course, the brain, but analyzing a lot of brain scans and brain waves and find the points in these waves that would not fit the model so that we could maybe prevent something. That was also very, very interesting, and still something was missing. So then I quit. I quit that job and I thought, like, I need to find my niche. There must be something else for me out there. And I moved to Switzerland with my husband. So that was, we weren't married at the time, but it was the first time we moved together after 7 years of long distance relationship. And I became pregnant. So mm-hmm. Everything at once, new country, the relationship that suddenly we were together. for the first time, and I was having my first kid. So it was a big revolution in my life. And I still felt like I'm going to find the thing that is for me. But the first step to kind of get in touch with the working life was for me the university, because I believe that that's the place where the greatest discoveries are coming, and you have a level of network, inspiring project. So I went back to university and I got a job in the lab of a very, very famous scientist who discovered a really, really important molecule for the development of our nervous system. I worked with him together as a teaching coordinator, scientific coordinator. So I kept up with the science, but I would not do the experiments myself. Mm-hmm. And then because of my life situation that had changed massively, like the relationship with my partner and the kid, the first kid, I felt I needed to improve my communications, I needed to improve my life. There mm-hmm. was, I needed to discover more about myself. And that's where I started doing communication trainings. The first one was nonviolent communication, where that was the first moment where it really, like I remember it like if I would have been a kid at that day, and I felt like, oh my God, like oh, now I know all this knowledge about the brain. But now I can translate them in real life experiences. So all these molecules that I learned, they actually create these emotions that I'm now feeling, and I can learn to communicate things in a way that influence my relationship with people. So that was boom, a light bulb went out. And I thought, okay, this helps me, but it's going to help others too. So that's my way. I want to learn the skills that helps me create the life I want, and I want to use them to help others. And that was the moment that I decided coaching was what I had to learn.
Wow. So it's almost like the missing piece of the puzzle to everything you already knew.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
And so what is the link between mm-hmm. neuroscience and coaching mm-hmm. in the sense that, you know, in the intro I shared with listeners, that you know the science behind the success of coaching, mindset, focus, right? So what exactly does that mean? What's the link here?
Well, the brain is a fascinating machine, and it has incredible powers, but it does that only if you are able to use it. Mm-hmm. So there is, for example, a part of the brain that is called the reticular activating system. And it's a very sophisticated part of our brain. It works as a filter to the information that are coming in from the outside world. So if you imagine, like, our brain is constantly bombed by all type of information, but the brain is a deleting machine because it cannot take in everything that comes from the outside. But the question is, how does the brain choose what information to let in and what not? And that's where we play a role. And actually, that's something that not many people are aware of. And that was one of the most important things that I could relate between science and coaching. Because on one side, I knew the science of the brain. But when I started my training in coaching, I realized that that science actually can translate into something that we can learn to do and control. So basically, if I decide that I want to be pregnant, mm-hmm. let's say that's an example, I decide I want to have a kid. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, and probably everybody listening to this can relate, suddenly you start seeing pregnant women yes. everywhere. Why is that? Because now we have had a filter. We have an important information that we give to our brain. I want to be pregnant is something really important for me. So my brain goes outside and filters in all the things that relate to that important issue. Mm-hmm. But the same is happening if you tell yourself, I'm a bad person. What happens there? Your brain that wants you to be right all the time will go outside there and look for all the reasons why you're a bad person, deleting all the possible reasons why you're actually a great person. So if you're not aware of that, you're going to experience a life that is full of information that are hurtful for yourself. Mm-hmm. Coaching is magical here, because whenever you start working with a coach, the coach can support you finding out those filters that are in your way, that are creating painful experiences for you. And the brain is plastic. The brain is able to change. So as soon as you realize I have the wrong filter in front of me, how about I change this with this new one? And if you change it, suddenly life outside there turns to be the life that you always wanted to have. So this is one aspect of neuroscience that correlates massively with coaching, that actually coaching uses on a regular basis to support you.
So let me just quickly make sure that everyone understands this. What you're saying is really important. So by bringing awareness, first of all, to what you want, right? You're using, or you're activating that reticular activating system to start looking outside of you for anything that could help you get that, right? Or yes, any evidence. And then you also said that's you talked about the brain being plastic, right?
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Oh, of course. So let's make it really, really simple. Like, yes, neuroscience make it simple. Like, we have neurons, which are the brain cells. They're made of a body, and in the body, everything that has to do with energy, the energy of the cell, the production of molecules, happens at everything inside there. Then these neuronal cells have a long arm and some fingers at the end. But to really make it simple, those fingers are made for connecting with another neuronal cell. Mm-hmm. And that's called synapses. It's the place where neurons wire together. Mm-hmm. So whenever we develop a thought, or we experience something, a connection is created in our brain. And the more that connection is used, in the sense of really the more that information is part of our life, the higher, the faster the signal will go between the two cells. So it's going to become a highway. And for a long time, I think until 1940, more or less, we thought that once a connection is built, it is not possible to change that. But now we know that there is neuroplasticity. So basically, every connection that we have in the brain can be shifted, can be changed to adapt to new desires, to what people want to actually create in their brain. And so if I have been, for some reasons, like, let's say I've had a difficult childhood, and I grow up feeling like I'm not worthy of a relationship, I'm not worthy of love, and I have that belief present in my mind, that's going to influence the way I live my life, the way I interact with people. And it has a very strong connection in my brain. So there are neuronal cells that are holding that belief and are connected together in a very strong way. But whenever you find out that, you can actually change that belief. And by changing that belief, you're going to give your brain new information about what kind of connection do I actually want to build. And if you start using the new one, let's say you admit to yourself that you're a worthy person, you're a beautiful soul, and you'll find the love of your life, and you just need to trust that the person is there waiting for you, and you start building that connection, the other one will break.
Uh-huh.
And the new one will be there. And the more you use it, the more it's going to be your new nature.
So this seems to have two sides to it, right? So on the one hand, a very common example is like, playing tennis, right? The more I play tennis, or my right hand, the more I practice that, what you're saying is the thicker the connection between my neurons. So a neural pathway,
yes,
a highway, right?
Yes.
Which is good. So if I start running every day, I'm forming a connection.
Yes.
That's one side of it. And I'd like to comment on that in a second. But another side of what you're talking about is also, if there is a connection a pattern that doesn't serve me, something, a habit that I'm doing that is not good for me,
yes.
for example, like smoking,
yes.
or some sort of belief I have about myself that's not serving me, then there is a way, because the brain is plastic, to actually start weakening that
yes.
connection and build another one.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So around the time that it takes to form a new connection, mm-hmm. a new highway, mm-hmm. what do you say on that?
6 weeks.
6 weeks.
So, and it, what is important as an information here for everybody, you will not have any neuroplasticity if things are easy to do.
Okay.
So if something easy for you is translated in your brain like a structure that is already there, so the brain doesn't need to change. Everything that feels easy is there already. Whenever you want to change something important, it must feel difficult at the beginning. Do not expect it to be easy, because otherwise there is no need for your brain to change. So some effort needs to be there at the beginning. That shows that something in your brain is moving into a new direction, into a reorganization. And then after 3 to 4 weeks, it starts become more natural until it becomes a habit. For that, you really need the 6 weeks.
So it sort of becomes automatic. You don't have
yes.
to push yourself at one
yes,
point.
Exactly.
So we gotta break through that initial phase of resistance.
Absolutely.
Until we build the habit,
yeah.
which really is a connection in our brain.
It is a connection.
Now, that's
in
why
our
we
brain.
Talk about rewiring the brain.
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. And coaching helps to do that?
Oh, wow. Coaching is the best tool you have to arrive to that point, because a coaching is a judgmental free safe space in which you get asked those questions that are able to open up everything that you didn't yet think about. So basically, you know that there is something unsatisfying, you're not feeling happy about your life, but you have no idea where to tackle that to. And if you start a coaching process, what happens is that you will get clarity about what is in under your influence that is in your way of achieving what you wish.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you realize that, coaching can help you reframing that in a way that it shifts the information that are coming to you through your brain, and it changes the information that your brain is going to give to you afterwards. And so whenever that happens, that's a new life.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We usually say, you know, a coach helps you get out of your own way. We're usually in our own way.
Exactly.
And for example, if I'm telling myself I'm not a sporty person, and the brain works as you're saying, it's a deletion device, so it's going to delete everything that's not related to me actually being sporty.
Yes.
If then with the coaching, I bring awareness to the fact that I want to start working out, right? It's a goal that I have.
Yes.
And I start maybe even feeding my brain with that information, I'm becoming more and more sporty.
Yes.
Then my brain will help me notice that I am actually doing
exactly.
that, and I'll get there faster.
Exactly.
And that's
yes.
all with the awareness that the coaching.
Yes. And the accountability,
and the focusing
of course.
For it.
That's
and the
another really important thing, because
okay.
people love to do things together. People love to feel that somebody believes in them.
Mm-hmm.
And often the reason why we fail is that we didn't build yet that muscle of trust within ourselves. And a coach is so beautifully able to help you build that muscle and show you that he genuinely trusts, so believes in you. I think this is a massive, massive add-on in the life of people, to see that a stranger believes in you more than you believe in yourself.
And is holding you accountable
yes.
to what you committed to,
yes.
right? Keeping
yes,
you on track. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Cecilia, you are also a sports coach, fitness mm-hmm. trainer, and you're quite the athlete yourself. So you do spinning, you do high intensity interval training, 3 times a week strength training, and twice a week you run for 8 kilometers. So you know firsthand the importance of human movement and training as an indispensable tool for energy creation, right? To create long-lasting change in our lives. Can you tell us a bit about the importance of movement in creating change in ourselves and the connection that exists between the mind and the body?
So I guess the place where the story begins is when I had my second and my third child, because that time I had already done a lot of self-development. So my knowledge about communication together with the neuroscience and coaching were already pretty high. But my energy was nowhere where I wanted it to be. And then that's the moment where I took the decision. I look at myself in the mirror. I wasn't happy about my body. I was overweighted. I was tired. I was complaining about not sleeping well, not looking good. And that's the moment where I took the decision of starting building my confidence muscle. And I realized that the first place to begin was myself. And if I wanted to show to myself that I could progress and become a better version of myself, I need to start to take care of my body. And that's where I went to the gym twice a week. I began with twice a week. It was super heavy at the beginning. I wasn't looking forward to that. That's about the pushing that we were talking about before. But after some weeks, I started feeling that the more I would train, the more I would create energy in my body. So I would get out of this training feeling so much more energetic than I went in. And that was such a beautiful sign saying like, okay, my body needs the movement. It needs the pushing against the effort to feel alive, to feel energetic. And that became a big motivator to influence others. So I decided that I needed to become a fitness trainer, a sport coach, because I really wanted to impact others and show to the people how they feel whenever they exercise their body, they take care of their body, they push towards the next rep. And actually science backs that up. If there is one important tool for longevity, since we're talking about becoming older and older, it is exercise. It is the one thing that has the highest impact on your blood values, on your health. And on the other hand, it's important to have the knowledge that every 10 years, 10% of our muscle mass is reducing automatically from the age of 30 onwards. So we need to keep, in order to keep up with the life, with a healthy, exciting, beautiful life, we need to keep our bodies in shape.
And movement.
I mean, and in shape has nothing to do with aesthetic. It's really a healthy body that is able to, let's say, take a big bag from the floor and put it on top of yourself when you go on a plane,
or when you're a grandmother rushing pick out up your grandchildren,
exactly, or when you want to play with your grandchildren and they are going on the floor, or you want to protect them from hurting themselves and you need to react fast. So keep this body in a healthy state.
And before we were talking, you were telling me it doesn't have to be a marathon, right? It could be a 20-minute walk, but you want to make sure it builds up.
Yeah, and I mean, I think everybody should just focus on the 1% improvement, whatever that means for you. We're all different, and we all have different fitness levels. And everybody should just it's the smallest thing you can do to build a habit of movement.
Yes.
And you will see those so-called happiness molecule. They are all, like, we're talking about dopamine, endorphins, oxytocin, serotonin. If we look at science, if there is one thing that induces the production of all of them, that's exercises. So you'll see that do that 1%. Start your 10 minutes walking every day. And then you'll see how your body feels the pleasure of the movement. And that will push you to do the little bit more, a little bit more. And that's going to build a habit that is healthy for you. And it's different for everybody.
Beautiful. So as you say, it's exercise is creating energy, but it's also bringing you happiness, so mind-body connection. And you're saying you can start with walking 10 minutes a day, then you can build up and maybe you can introduce some strength training if you're over 30.
Yes.
And I love that sentence where I believe it was Keith Cunningham that said, the little things consistently done produce extraordinary results.
Oh, yes.
I'm not sure if it was him, but it's these little improvements,
absolutely,
right? But on a continuous basis, having a routine, a daily routine.
Yes.
Fantastic. And Dr. Cecilia, this all this knowledge that you have, right? Science, and how do you incorporate all that knowledge about science into your own coaching? Mm. So tell me a little bit about your own coaching practice.
So I have two different types. So I'm a sport coach where I deal mainly with groups and a private so it's coaching, one-on-one coaching, some private clients. But I guess everywhere energy is the number one thing that makes my coaching special and gives people a reference for what kind of state you can used to walk through life, because that's something that I never need to I don't need to create artificially. That's the way I am, that's what people hear, and that's what most of my client feedback to me saying, oh wow, that really helps me to start improving my own energy, and when I do it, things are so different. So that is the most important part. But what the science tell us is that our brain needs a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Our brain needs references. So the first thing that I do with the clients is finding out what do they actually want. And like, there is no limit to the imagination. I don't want them to start putting limitations to what they want. Like, I really want them to tell me what they want. And when the brain, what happens there is that, as we said before, the reticular activating system, when the reticular activating system has a new reference for a relationship, for a work situation, for their body, for the way they feel, then it's so much easier. The first step is only putting that word out. Because the moment you do it, your brain starts working for you in the background, looking for information that can support you finding that without you doing any effort, just by saying the word aloud.
Yes.
So that's number one. Then number two, we work on what they focus on. And that's a big chunk of work that needs to be done, because we believe that because our brain is inside of our head, we can trust everything that comes out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, we cannot. Actually, the truth is that 70% of our thoughts are wrong, are proven to be wrong. So this is scientifically proven. And which means that if you're not aware of this information, you will basically listen to everything that comes from your brain and take it for granted and believe it. But if you start, and that happens really through coaching, there are not many other practices that I know that are so efficient under this point of view to support you finding out what are you focusing on that is not good for you and that is inducing your brain to share information with you that are not good for you. So finding out these negative loops that are part of you is so incredibly relieving and so incredibly important for you to start building your own life and taking control of your brain. So number two is definitely really becoming aware what are the focus, the things that are not good.
So basically if we take that other example, so I believe I'm not a sporty person, and this is not me obviously, but if this person sets a goal with you where, you know, I want to be healthy, have a healthy lifestyle and, you know, run a marathon maybe, and they have this belief that I'm not a sporty person, what you're saying is we need to understand what this person is focusing on, what they believe that's getting in their way, right?
Yes.
And you want to get that out of the way. You want to turn that around to move forward.
Yes, you reframe it. You absolutely reframe it. You get to the sentence, to the question, to the belief that is in their way. And starting from there, you turn it around in a way that it becomes something empowering. And you're connecting it with it. Like, I'm not saying reject what inside of you, but let's understand what you believe about yourself. And let's, from that place, create something that empowers you to move, to progress.
Yes.
And that's something that you can do in coaching really beautifully together with the relationship between the coach and the client. And once you go to these places, you also realize there are pattern of languages, there are pattern of words and sentences that are habitual that we don't give as a big importance. But that actually, once you find them out, you realize how they impact everything. Because again, they create filters. So all these things, they are actually creating a big chunk of filters that are then making you experience only that life, only the life you actually don't want.
Yes.
So this is...
So if you're feeding yourself questions about, you know, why am I so out of shape?
Yes.
Why am I...
Yes.
You're actually telling your brain to focus on that.
Yes.
And that's what you'll see more of.
Exactly.
And you'll do more of.
Exactly.
Amazing.
And then you wonder why you're not progress.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so you were telling me about the first 10 years of our life, right? Mm-hmm. And also 21 years.
Yeah.
And how, a little bit about, I'd love you to comment a little bit about that. What were you telling me?
Well, that's a very interesting, because when we're born, we're basically completely dependent.
Yes.
Of our parents. And our brain is basically building up. And in the first 10 years of our life, there is nothing else than emotions. So if you see, like, everybody, when you have a kid or you know families that have kids, you see these kids having emotional
rollercoasters.
Absolutely. And they are not able to tell you why they're not able. They're not able to reflect on it. They're just driven by these emotions, because the logical part of the brain, the so-called prefrontal cortex, is slowly maturing inside our head, but it will be completely mature only at the age of 21. So until then, there is a huge amount of experiences that we do in which we don't have the same logical power that you experience now, that I experience now. And mainly in the first 10 years, there all the memories and all the experiences that we go through, they are completely emotional. I mean, they really only, the only tool we have to experience them is our emotion, but we don't have the logical brain to give it any empowering meaning or to reframe the things in ways that are not creating problems for us. And everything ends up in an unconscious mind.
Okay.
So we don't have a direct access to it. But when we do coaching, we can actually, by asking those questions that nobody else has asked you before, you can find out if there are beliefs beliefs about yourself that you built in those times where you didn't have the chance to actually give it any empowering meaning, that you can actually now bring up to consciousness and then rewrite in a way that they're not anymore in your way.
To give it another meaning, right?
Yes.
So if you had in your childhood some sort of experience, and it doesn't necessarily have to be any trauma or anything,
no,
just
exactly.
any experience, and you gave it some sort of meaning because
yes.
it was all about emotion
yes.
and it's not serving you anymore,
yes.
by bringing that into your awareness now, you can give it another meaning
yes.
and you can move forward.
And also, like, if you think about it, like, kids, the fact that they're so dependent on us makes them prone to find the wrong in themselves.
Oh yeah.
So, and that is something that when we become adult, we kind of tend to forget how massively important that can actually be mm-hmm. for the way we then develop as an adult being. So finding those things out, that maybe you've made yourself wrong so often that has become a habit and you keep making yourself wrong.
Yes.
So finding that out is so important, and it can shift completely the way you feel about everything
yes,
in your life.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I've absolutely felt that when, you know, in my own coaching processes,
yeah.
the ones that I've been through with
yeah.
my own coaches, you just stop making yourself wrong.
Yes.
You realize that you were doing it.
Yes.
Can you share with us one of the most beautiful success stories of one of your clients?
So my favorite topic in coaching, and it's relationships.
Yes.
So the success story is also relationships. It's probably because it's also the field where I felt I made the biggest progresses. So I'm very, very, very passionate about that. But I had one client that was, I think that's my favorite story. Yeah, he was very scared. He was very scared of relationships. Feeling like a relationship would mean complete loss of freedom.
Okay.
Complete.
That's very common, yeah.
Yeah. But actually, by coaching, we found out that wasn't the reason why he was scared. But the reason why he was scared was he was really, really scared of suffering, like panicking about the fact that a relationship could mean suffering. Yeah. So
fear of rejection or loss. Or,
yeah. Yeah. And also, I mean, that's another beautiful thing of coaching, I think. And that was very, very interesting with him. Very often these fears, they're not specific.
Uh-huh.
So you have these big emotions, these big feelings. But as soon as you start asking, say, okay, but what's the worst that can happen? And what are you really scared about? It's fascinating how unspecific fears are. And if you start trying to make them specific, already that makes them disappear.
Yeah.
So, like, it was a 6 months of coaching with him. But I remember him one day coming to me and saying, my heart is open. Today, I felt it. And from today on, my heart is open. And that was it.
Wow.
Like, together we rewired the whole story around relationship at a point that he felt there was no fear anymore. He could let go and boom.
So basically he made some new connections in his brain about
yes.
what is a relationship, right? So
yes.
We were talking about beliefs and how it's almost like it's almost like a tabletop with legs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe in the past someone hurt him in a relationship, and so now he created this fear
yes.
of rejection or suffering, or as you said. And it's really, as you said, it really has no basis.
Yes.
You know, what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
And so what happened there with your client is he formed a new belief, as
mm-hmm.
you said. My heart is now open, because perhaps before it was closed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. And Cecilia, since we're talking about relationship, and I know that it's a topic you're very passionate about, given all the knowledge that you have about the human brain, what is some advice that you can give our listeners about intimate relationships?
So we often, like, I don't know, like, maybe we start from an example. Maybe everybody can think about a relationship where they feel frustration or
yeah.
sadness or some kind of, maybe the relationship with one kid, or the relationship with a loved one, where you feel like I'm so stuck in the same type of situation happening over and over again, and I don't seem to be able to influence this at all. And many times we think, like, either the other person changes or this relationship cannot change.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that's not true at all. Because what happens is that we create each other in the relationship. So when I'm, let's say I'm interacting with you and I have some really strong emotions about my relationship with you, and every time we speak, I experience the same type of confrontation, or I feel disappointed, or I feel like you're not considering me enough, or whatever could be the situation. I will start my conversation with you having those negative pictures in mind about the way you are not listening enough to me or not giving me what I need. And when, and as soon as I open my mouth and speak to you, what I'm going to do, if I have that in mind, is that I am going to recall the part of you that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And you will answer to that by recalling the part of me that you don't like. So if we keep doing that forth and back, we're basically locked into a
pattern.
Exactly. So the belief of the other person needs to change in order for the relationship to change is not true. Why? Because actually, if I would start talking to you, opening up to the possibility that you could answer
in a different way,
and enable you, giving you that space, you would answer in a different way. And that would enable me to then not feel again triggered by what you say, because you would answer in a way that goes away from the pattern. And that would change the relationship. I had this experience myself. Like I can give you a clear example of how that impacted my relationship, because my husband is very, very different from me. So he's, there was one side of him, he's very, had the tendency to worry about mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. So he wants to basically speak about the things in advance so that we can avoid negative things to happen, and it would be really crucial for him to share his worries and to plan things in a way that we can avoid mm-hmm. problems. And I'm on the other side, I love flexibility, I love freedom, I love spontaneous. I don't want to have too many details yes. cleared in advance. Yeah. I want to have the experience.
Yes.
And my when we got together, my first reaction was to reject this part of him. And the more I would reject, the more I would create it. So the more I would reject his need for talking and worrying and planning, the more he would bring up this side of him that I didn't like. And the more I would come with my need of freedom, spontaneity, and flexibility, the more he would reject that because it would scare him to death, the more I would have that need. So we would basically, by doing that, increase the part of each other that we didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I realized, like, what if I just give him some understanding for what he needs? It doesn't mean I need to take his strategy and plan my life from A to Z or worry about everything, but I can acknowledge that this side of him is there and it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And only this little shift of just opening up without rejecting this side of him shifted completely the relationship, because then he felt like he could be himself.
Yes.
And he didn't need to plan that much anymore. He definitely worried much less than he did worry that.
And you were telling me that you also believe that this helps you. It's a part of him that actually complements you.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this really ties back to what you were saying about the brain and the filters.
Yes.
So if I have a label, for example, for my child, that this child is difficult,
yes.
that's what I'm going to see.
Absolutely.
Right? And so I'm going to interact with that child in a way that brings out that part
the
of him.
The difficult part of him.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
So, as you said, you create the other person in the relationship and you have control over how you interact with that
Absolutely.
Person.
Absolutely. So sit there, sit back and think, okay, what do I actually want to see?
Yes.
So for me, it was like with him, it was, of course I can take this part of him because that person compensates what I don't have. But I was able to see that only afterwards.
Yes.
When I got out of the pattern.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah. So final question. What is one tool that you want to, or technique that you want to share with listeners today so mm-hmm. they can apply it right now and start fostering positive change in their lives?
Mm. We talked already about the fact that our brain is inside our head.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean we can trust everything that comes out of there. So I think this is one thing that if people start use it, it's going to shift massively their life. So believe the fact that 70% of your thoughts are wrong and start listening to the thoughts that are coming through from your brain. Mm-hmm. Listen to those information and ask yourself, is this really true? Is
so question it
really?
It.
Yeah, question it. Start questioning those information. And
if it doesn't serve you.
If it doesn't serve you, of course. Everything that serves us.
Great.
We don't need to change it. But if there are thoughts that are coming up that you feel like they're really in your way, they're undermining you, they're making your life difficult, they're making your relationships difficult, don't just believe everything that comes from there, but start questioning those beliefs. And I'm sure I could bet that you're gonna find reasons why these beliefs or this information are actually not true. And whenever you start finding examples, like when you were saying about the being sportive or not,
yes.
I'm sure there are moments in your life in which you would say, look, actually, that's a sign that I like movement. That's a sign that I'm enjoying this type of activity.
Yes.
And if you start seeing that, you start creating new connection in your brain. And the next step is give your brain the inputs. So instead of getting passively bombed by the information that your brain gives you, start deciding what kind of filters do I want to put? What kind of person do I want to become? What kind of relationship do I want to experience? And give your brain those information so that he can start giving you the thoughts that you actually wish to have to thrive in your life.
That's fabulous. That's a very simple tool. Dr. Cecilia, thank you so much for sharing this incredible knowledge and research with us today. I thank you on behalf of all of our listeners. My three big takeaways from what you shared today are, number one, it's almost like we need to take a decision, right? That we can actually run our brain and not be the victims of our brain, right? So if a lot of the stuff it's feeding us is not true, we can actually start to proactively program it, yes, and feed it with things that serve us, with thoughts that serve us, with goals that serve us, with beliefs about ourselves that serve us, questions, yes, etc. So that's really a decision, right? Yes. Understand about the brain and use it and not let it use you.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And a second big takeaway I take from this conversation is about energy and movement, right? So yes, you know, absolutely, mindset is crucial, and we want to move every day. You said that movement is we were made to move.
Yes.
Because that will not only, you know, bring in the happiness hormones, but it will also create the energy that, yeah, we need to, yes, create the life that we want.
Yes.
And the third big takeaway is around relationships. I thought that was absolutely beautiful. We create the other person in the relationship. Yes. So start looking at yourself if you're in a relationship where you feel stuck, and to see what you can change in the way you interact with that other person, the labels or, you know, beliefs that you have around that, yes, person. What can you change?
Yes.
And that was absolutely brilliant. Again, thank you so much to everyone at home as well, listening to us today and investing their time to be here. And I ask everyone at home, what are you going to do today to start making the changes you want to see in your life? I challenge you to apply the tool Dr. Cecilia shared. So step one, listen to your thoughts, to what you're telling yourself, to what your brain is telling you. Step two, question that when it's not serving you. Is this absolutely true? Step three, feed it proactively with what you want to see.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Remember, we are not the product of our circumstances. We are the creators of our lives. So today, start creating the life that you want. Thank you so much, Dr. Cecilia. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Coach Talks, Coaching em Ação, podcast de Madalena Sutcliffe.
Podcast Bauer Media Audio Portugal.